3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Exfabula!
True personal stories.
Exfabula is a Milwaukee nonprofit committed to strengthening community bonds through the art of storytelling.
And that means it's time for another edition of Exfabula Radio on Lake Effect Weekend. I'm Rachel Owens, joined again by Exfabula co-founder Leah Delaney.
Hello. Guess what else we're joined by?
What?
Well, this really crummy wintry weather.
It was Easter this week, right?
Yeah. No, I have no idea. I don't know. But I've just I've had it up to here at this point, as as well as all of Milwaukee, at least on social media that I see. I think we've all kind of reached our last straw, as it were, on it, which brings us to our show today. Our final Exfabula Story Slam is this Tuesday, April 10th at the Time Cinema. The theme is Last Straw, and here we are contending with our own. So we're going to hear stories that night about jobs, apartments, relationships, just something that you just can't handle anymore. It's all going to happen on Tuesday, April 10th.
Yes, a theme that I think we can all tap into, especially, as you said, this time of the year.
Yeah, I know. It's like we all kind of get that feeling of that, you know, we're all cabin fevered up at that point, and we just, everybody's kind of had it. So
you're just kind of melt down at the oddest moments, just over a cup of coffee or something like that. It's just, it all comes out.
Definitely, definitely. So on that note, let's roll into our very first story. This one was actually from our very first season. Amy Losey tells her Now or Never story from our February 2010 Story Slam. Let's hear Amy Losey.
I have a picture of me when I was getting married, and I'm walking down the aisle, and I'm crying. And if you guys saw the picture, you would look at it, and you would say, oh, look at her. She's crying. That's beautiful. But when I look at that picture, because I was there, I'm not crying. I'm crying. I am crying like a four-year-old girl cries when she gets out of her mother's car and is being led into the doctor's office because she knows she's going to get a shot. I'm crying, okay? Because I never, ever should have walked down the aisle and married that man. I know, I know. But let me tell you, I don't know very many people here tonight, and I know you guys probably don't know me as well, but I bet I can say that I am probably the only one here who was married to a right-wing Republican evangelical Christian engineer. And I was, for 15 years. And during the course of that marriage, I did a lot of things that were wrong, and he did a lot of things that were wrong as well. And it was interesting because we moved out here. We're from California, and we moved out here to Wisconsin. And around about the time we moved out here to Wisconsin, I remember we were sitting at in the auditorium for one of my son's concert, a recorder concert or band or something. I don't know what it was. And it was over, and my ex-husband, his name is Vance. Vance looked over at me, and he said, Amy, did you know that you were clapping louder than everybody else in this auditorium? And I was like... I guess I was, I was really excited. It was a great concert. He was kind of like, And I know, like I said, I don't know a lot of you, but I wouldn't consider myself to be a sentimental person, but I am a person who has a lot of feelings. I have huge, immense feelings. I feel things. I remember my sister said to me when she was like, Amy, you feel things really hard. And I do. I do. I have hard feelings, you know, and I'm with this man who's telling me that I'm clapping louder than everybody else in the auditorium, and I think there's something wrong with that, and I don't know what's wrong. I can't figure it out, you know. So time goes by, and we go to this evangelical Christian church, and it has one of those rockin' contemporary worships. I love them. I love it. It's there's drums, there's guitar, there's cool contemporary Christian music, and I'm in church, and I'm doing my thing, and my ex-husband grabs me by my arm, and he says to me, Amy, do you realize that you are the only person who's dancing in this entire church? You're dancing in this entire church. And I'm like, I am? I was? Is there something wrong with that? I guess there is. There must be. I don't know what it is, but there's something wrong. There's something wrong with that. And a little bit later, I'm standing in my laundry room, and I'm crying. And I'm really crying. And my ex-husband walks in, and he says to me, why are you crying? And I said, I'm really unhappy. I'm miserable. And he looked at me, and he said, Amy, you better get happy, because you have a lot of things to be happy about. And I thought, really? Do I? Well, okay, I must. And I don't know what they are, but they're there, something, right? And I've got this Gap card, and it's sitting on my desk. I had a little desk in my kitchen. And he said, I want you to go use that Gap card. You know, this is like in May. I got it at Christmas. He's like, my mother gave it to you. She meant for you to use it. Go use it. Oh, I don't want to. I don't want to. I don't want to. And he's like, let's just go. Let's go. So we go to the Southridge Mall Gap. And I love the Gap. I'm like, I drop like $500-$600 at the Gap. I love the pocket t-shirt. I love it all. The chinos, everything. I've got the boyfriend chinos. Remember those? I've got them. I love it. So I walk into the Gap, and I've got my $50 Gap card. And he goes, choose something. Buy something. You know, what do you want? And I'm standing in the Gap, and I started to look around, and I realized there wasn't one thing in that Gap that I wanted because I didn't have any idea of what I wanted. I didn't know. I didn't have any feelings left at all. And I started to cry. And I stood in the Gap at the Southridge Mall crying, holding that Gap card, and I realized that was my now moment, and I got the hell out of that marriage.
And that was Amy Losey telling us her last straw story.
I can relate to crying in a Gap store, but for different reasons.
Oh, would you care to tell that story right now?
No, not exactly. But yeah, similar theme, the last straw, the just, you know, yeah. That's when it happened to pop up. So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't control those last straws. Sometimes they just happen at the most inopportune times. So we are talking about Last Straw because that is the theme of our final Exfabulous Story Slam of Season 9, which is going to take us into our All-Stars event coming up in May, which we're really excited about. So this is everyone's last chance to potentially win the audience favorite for that night to get entered into the All-Stars. But along with that, you know, we're not slowing down, Rachel. We have so many events. We're jam-packed, especially in April. We have a lot of fellowship events that are coming up. And on Thursday, April 12th, Housing as a Public Health Issue is going to happen as our next event. And this is a really great safe space for people to, you know, have conversations about their experiences with housing as a public health issue, as well as hear a couple of our Exfabula fellows tell stories about their personal situations with that as well. With that being said, we are going to move into our second and final story of the day from one of our actual Exfabula fellows. Here's Jacqueline Hasley talking to us about her experience with Race in Place back in January 2018.
Housing hopes dashed by U.S. Supreme Court decision. That could have been a headline in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel in 1975. It wasn't, but it could have been. The story begins 5 years earlier when I received a phone call from my friend Julie. Let me tell you about Julie. Julie and I met in September of 1967. We served together on committees at our parish, St. Elizabeth Catholic Church. We marched together for open housing with Val Phillips and Father James Grappi. We wept together at the death of Dr. Martin Luther King, and we celebrated a short time later when the Fair Housing Ordinance finally passed in the city of Milwaukee after years of effort by Alderperson Val Phillips. We not only worked and served together, we also became good friends during that time. We played together. We enjoyed parties and dances and movies and concerts. Julie attended the wedding, my husband and myself, and later the birth and baptism of our son. We enjoyed each other's families and spent time with each other's families. That phone call that came 2 years later in 1969 was Julie telling me that she was in the hospital. My friend, what was she doing in the hospital? And she told me. She had contracted an illness caused by living in a rat and roach infested home. Her doctor would not release her until she could find a safe and clean place to live. Would I help? She asked. Of course I would help. She was my friend. Of course. I spent the next few days looking at papers and looking at houses that met Julie's criteria. I found what I thought was the perfect house, a duplex near St. Elizabeth, near a good public school, 3 large bedrooms for herself and her 4 children. a bright, sunny kitchen, a clean basement, and as a bonus, a fenced-in yard. I had told the landlord Julie's situation. He accepted my deposit, a $50 check. And then I called Julie from that duplex. She was still in the hospital. I spoke to her. I thought she was as excited as I was. And then she asked the question. Jackie, she said, did you tell him that I was black? I hadn't. Julie was my friend. I hadn't even thought about it. Moreover, we had marched together for open housing. We had celebrated the passage of fair housing in Milwaukee and later the federal fair housing ordinance. Why would I ask if it was that she was black? She wanted to talk to the landlord, and she did. And I listened in astonishment as the landlord said, I don't rent to black people. And then I watched, stunned, as he tore up the check and handed the pieces back to me. I was a student at the time at UWM, and I had a work-study job working for WCLU, which is the Wisconsin branch of American Civil Liberties Union. And I went to the director, Ed McManus, and I said, Ed, this just happened to my friend. Is there something ACLU can do? This doesn't sound right. It feels like it's illegal. He agreed to talk to the attorneys, and he got back to me and he said, yes, we can take the case. I asked Julie, and she said, yes. And then we spent much of the next year in lawyers' offices, ours and theirs, the defendants. We spent time in depositions, some harsher than others. And then we went to federal court, and we won in John Reynolds Federal Court here in Milwaukee. We celebrated, but not for long, because the court defendant then asked to go to the circuit court in Chicago. And it did, and we won that. And then it went to the U.S. Supreme Court. And those 9 judges ruled against my friend Julie, dashing her hopes and ours for fair housing in Milwaukee and the country.
And that was Jacqueline Hasley's story regarding race and place.
Wow. Speaking of health and public housing as an issue, it's striking that in this day and age, someone can fall into that situation, contract a disease from where they live.
Yes, it's so true. And if you want to hear more stories from people's situations from housing as a public health issue, please come to our next Exfabula Fellowship event, which is going to be on Thursday, April 12th. Also, again, the theme, Last Straw, Tuesday, April 10th. Come on, Milwaukee, Time Cinema. Definitely pre-register. We actually sold out our last 2 season slams. So we need to get people to go on to exfabula.org, get their tickets in advance, and then show up. Maybe tell a story, maybe not. Do some active listening, whatever you feel. But we'll be happy to see everyone's face in the place for sure.
Awesome. Well, until the winter weather goes away, it's nice to know we have Exfabula. Well, Exfabula and the Brewers. That's pretty much all we got right now.
That's right.
All right. Well, we really appreciate the stories again and look forward to seeing you again next week. Thanks, Leah.
Thank you so much.